Now we get underway with the first of our broadcast partners today to talk about headlines in the news, current events around the world, and to get more details so we can better understand how whatever may be happening fits into the prophetic scenario that can be found in God's Word. I'll take a look at the book at the end of this hour and a half. You'll be able to better understand how it all comes together. But first, our conversations, and this one with Colonel Bob McGinnis. He is a man involved in understanding current events. He appears on many television networks, the cable news networks. He does a lot of radio. He does speaking. He travels all over the world. So that's why we are eager to get a hold of him. There's much to talk about and some current events that we need to discuss, Bob. But let me talk to you, first of all, about the Arab League Summit that's being held in Baghdad. I'm sure they have a lot of focuses, but this is somewhat of a historic event, especially for war-torn Iraq, is it not?
It is, Jimmy, the first time since 1990 where they had the summit there. And of course, the Prime Minister Maliki is really proud that they can have it, but at the same time, right after he said this is a friendly welcome in a city of peace, a rocket blasted into the green zone where they were having the meeting. So it wasn't well attended by the Arab world, but at least it is an indication that Baghdad is back in the fray and is respected as an Arab capital.
This had to be focusing somewhat on Syria and what's happening there. There seems to be an agreement between President of Syria, Bashar Assad, and brokered, I guess, by Kofi Annan, the former Secretary General of the United Nations. I'm sure that was on the agenda at the Arab summit there in Baghdad. But it doesn't look like Bashar Assad is, he said he agreed to it, but doesn't look like he's applying it properly.
Well, Assad's not going to step down, as, of course, they've asked for. And their six-point plan with Kofi Annan, is trying to sell to the world right now, much less to Syria, involves humanitarian ceasefire, withdrawal of troops, the likely types of issues that are in these types of conflicts that the U.N. oversees. U.N. is fleckless. It doesn't do a very good job in most of these things, but that's what the world resorts to. I don't have any reason to believe that Assad will step down, primarily because he has nowhere to go. We can call for his demise all the time, but he looked to see what happened to Mubarak. He saw what happened to Gaddafi. He says, I don't want that to happen to me. So he's going to sit his time out there in Damascus if he can.
Well, you mean sit his time out? Could he still be in power a year from now?
Well, I think he could be in power like his father for 20 years. Mm. His father, as Jimmy, murdered, certainly more than 10,000, probably closer to 20,000, and he got away with it. The U.S. and the West aren't willing to go in, and the Arabs are unwilling to go in, other than to provide the Syrian rebels some weapons on the side. But, Assad's army continues to be rather robust and capable, and, they're run by the same tribe that Bashar Assad is from, and therefore they're not going to abandon him because they know what would happen to them as well. So I don't see an easy fix to this, so I suspect we'll continue to have unrest for a long time in that region.
Let me change the focus just a bit. President Obama out in South Korea for a very special meeting on nuclear activities, the lack of or increase of there in South Korea. But while speaking with the president of Russia, Medvedev, the mic was open, and something said, hey, wait till I get elected again and I can be more flexible. Was that a commentary of any type, or do you think that is just the regular run-of-the-mill statement?
Well, certainly when you're off mic, you're saying things perhaps more frank than you would in front of the cameras. And clearly, with regard to the relationship between Medvedev and Obama, which is going to change now that he's going to become the prime minister and switch with Vladimir Putin. And, of course, Putin has been outspoken with regard to his opposition to the European-based U.S. missile defense system that we intend to put over there to counter the Iranian threat, not only to Western Europe, but to the United States. And Putin argues in his campaign before he was elected earlier this month that basically this threatens his ballistic missile program and nuclear program. Keep in mind that the Russians have really downsized their conventional forces, and because of that, they depend more on their nuclear forces. So their credibility and their ability to threaten the world is undermined if the world believes that it has a counter to his ballistic missile threat. So all of this is a bit complex, but at the same time, the president went to Seoul, Jimmy, with 50 nations gathering there. This is 2 years after the same conference he had here in Washington, where they're trying to really reduce the world's inventory of fissile material, which can be used for making nuclear bombs. And, that's an enviable task, something that he announced in April of 2009 when he was in Prague. And then he said it here this week when he was in Seoul. Basically, he wants to do away with nuclear weapons, and you turn nuclear energy for the useful purposes that it can be, and not allow it to be loosely acquired by terrorists that would put it in a city such as Washington, New York, or wherever.
Is that a pipe dream, or is it a possibility?
Well, I'm writing about that for this next week. I tend to think it's a pipe dream, unless you can have an ability to control all fissile material. Keep in mind, there's enough fissile material probably for tens of thousands of weapons. There are 20,000 weapons out there already. The U.S. with the Russians are trying to reduce under New START the numbers of weapons. We're going down to about 5,000. And, of course, the president is going to come out here very shortly with a new nuclear weapons posture statement, and he's floated the idea of going down as low as 300, and I think that would be very dangerous given the threats that are posed by the Russians, the Chinese, and of course you've got the likes of Iran and North Korea, Pakistan, and others have nuclear arsenals. So it's tough. This is a very tough issue. Very few nations are perfectly open about their own programs. But at the same time, you as the President of the United States have a first obligation to protect your country, and we don't need to undermine our ability to do that by downsizing unilaterally, as he is proposing, the numbers of weapons that we have.
Bob will have that article posted on our website, prophecytoday.com. It'll be a guest editorial. It'll be a must-read, I'm sure, so make sure you look for it on our website. Again, that's prophecytoday.com. A couple of other items quickly, if we can get them in before our time is out. In that South Korea meeting, the president met with the prime minister of Turkey, Tayyip Erdogan. Then Erdogan left, and he went to Tehran to meet with the leadership in Iran and made a statement, hey, you in the West, quit putting pressure on Iran. Sounds like he's joined the camp with the Iranian leaders.
Well, of course, they do have some common interest, and Erdogan has been to Tehran a number of times, and Ahmadinejad has been to Istanbul many times. He is offering, of course, to sponsor the talks that failed a year ago. He says, we'll do it again. It is a suspicious relationship, but keep in mind, Erdogan has grandiose plans for Turkey, kind of neo-Ottoman types of thinking, where he would like to be the primary Islamic state, and yet, the Persians, of course, are pushing back against that, and of course, the Saudis are, very concerned, given what's going on with Syria and Egypt and the like. So, you've got a volatile situation here with major powers coming to the fray, contesting one another: Turkey, Iran, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and all in the mix, of course, we have the all-important oil.
Hey, give me about 15 seconds on, you said Egypt. The Islamists are tightening up their grip there. They control the legislature. Now they're thinking about running a candidate for president. They control the committee who is rewriting the Constitution. They're taking charge.
The Constitution, I think, is the most important, and in fact, they're going to have mostly Islamists that are writing it, and so little doubt Sharia law is going to be dominant, and what's interesting, are they going to have a divided power structure. You know, in the past, they've had their president that was more like a pharaoh, whereas the parliament was a lame duck sort of not very powerful organization. Well, now they want to empower the parliament, and the Islamists can do that through a new constitution.
Colonel Bob McGinnis, he's in the Washington, D.C. area. He has a vantage point to the world. That's why we bring him to these microphones to talk about geopolitical activities, helping us better understand what's truly going on behind all the headlines that we read or hear. Hey, Bob, thank you so very much. We'll talk next week. Thank you for being available to us.
Thank you, Jimmy.